Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, are the following things that all cyclists do? We've been chatting about the weird things that we reckon we'll do, but are we right?
We've also got news of a headline-grabbing new bike, a new hour record, fighting crime on bikes, and another nugget for those of you that make it to the end of the show.
You need endurance and stamina and patience.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that Jonas Vingegaard has been watching GCN's videos.
Yes.
Clearly inspired by Sy's research into whether we've been dressing for cycling all wrong. Last week, he ended up winning a stage of Paris-Nice wearing bib tights over a skin suit.
Yeah, which many people would think is all wrong. And personally, I wouldn't advocate for it either. But I think he's just getting the hang of the way that I think we should all dress. I guess I'm just a bit of a trendsetter, Dan.
Well, about that, Si, I didn't mention your new haircut last week, did I?
Why does it sound like haircut is in inverted commas there? It's not an inverted commas haircut. It's clearly a haircut.
Yes, clearly it is. Last week, you noticed, Si, I know this, that we got over 700 comments underneath the show.
Yeah.
I reckon a good 600 of them were about your haircut,
yes,
Si, and all of them were negative. I've memorised a selection.
Go on then.
Shall I?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to.
I just wanted interested to hear what you said then.
Right. Okay.
Right. Here we go then. John Cycling 6299. Does Si have a Kim Jong Un haircut? Baza Surf. Si looks like a French archer from the 1400s. Nice. Chris said, I love Si, but his haircut is butthead out of Beavers and Butthead. Earbrass 2. Si's joined a monastery in Belgium. Is working towards brewing beer for Dan. Alan Morrison. Si has either lost a bet, allowed his kids to cut his hair, or he's trying to deflect from his ankles. I particularly like that one, Si, but I've got more to come. Stay tuned. Mike Marino Jacks, without a full body shot, we can't tell if Si's new haircut makes his ankles look smaller. Fob on a bike, Simon's new haircut makes his ears look as big as his ankles.
Well, I mean, these have been hiding in plain sight for the last 13 years. I mean, there's nothing new there.
I continue.
Go on.
Darth Firebolt, I normally watch the GCN show on my phone with it magnetically stuck to the range hood as I cook my eggs for breakfast. I burnt them this morning trying to figure out what size down his sideburns. John Young, Si misjudged shaving his sideburns. Looks like the hair on a Lego man. Adam Gould, Si proving you don't need to take your helmet off at the barbers. A lot of people have said things along those lines. Mr. Brackley 88, Si, what charity are you raising money for with that haircut? Keen to make a contribution, please share the link for the donations. I'll put it in the link below in the description.
Okay, right. Not all 600 were negative. I found a couple that weren't. Yeah, Vandal Ross, Si, loving the haircut, my dude.
Oh, yes. And then he went on to say, it did make me think of The Simpsons' Don Mattingly sideburns episode.
Yeah,
okay. Which we looked up earlier, didn't we?
We did, yeah, that was accurate. And then we also had this one from Carol.
Mm.
It's a fade. I think he looks hot.
Oh, well, thank you, Carol. One comment out of 600. I think you made Si's day by his face there.
Look. Yeah, basically, yeah. I now think it's great. So I'm going to get another one next time.
Are you?
Yeah. Right, because of my new haircut, or perhaps in spite of it, when I was out riding at the weekend, okay, I found myself looking at a shop window as I went past. But I wasn't looking at what was being displayed. I was, as you've alluded to, studying my own reflection. I was just kind of making sure that my position on the bike looks okay.
Of course, I get your side.
And as I did so, I wondered, is this something that every cyclist does?
Mm.
Because most of the riders I know do exactly the same.
Do you only ride with narcissists?
No, I mean, I don't think so anyway. And I think this is the point, right? Besides, I've seen you do this as well.
Well, yes, this is true.
So yeah.
I have done it many times in the past. I think all cyclists do it.
Personally. Well, yeah.
But let us know in the comment section if you don't.
Well, they will do, for sure. I mean, you're riding along, big reflective window. There you are, looking cool on your bike. You can't not look.
Now, I think a lot of cyclists are guilty of looking at their reflection and thinking that they look cool. That's
exactly
what they're guilty
of.
How many of us glance in the mirror as we're heading out on a ride and think, yeah, looking good, while actually forgetting that a normal person doesn't really care that your shoes match your helmet because really, you're just a person out in the wild wearing Lycra.
Yeah. Every now and then, I realise what I look like to normal people, but only rarely. It's typically it's if I get my timings wrong and I end up having to go straight to pick up my kids from school while still on my bike and still wearing cycling kit.
I'm pretty sure there's a rule about being at school gates wearing Lycra.
I mean, it does feel when I'm there like there probably is. I think we're all guilty of forgetting where we are and what we look like, though, aren't we? Because otherwise it just feels so normal to us.
I was guilty of it the other day. In fact, I opened the door to a very shocked delivery driver.
Did they think that you were Hugh Jackman as well?
Possibly. Yeah. But it was more the fact that I was dripping sweat and only wearing cycling shorts.
The old answering the door mid-Zwift ride chestnut.
Exactly that, yes.
Yeah, I actually quite like to keep a T-shirt handy for those eventualities.
Being.
Yeah, but then I almost think that makes it worse.
Okay, because then you're an incredibly sweaty man is wearing normal clothes, I suppose.
Exactly. I think that looks even more dodge, to be fair. Now, changing tack slightly, how many of us are guilty of putting off or forgetting about essential bike maintenance until 10 minutes before you need to head out and meet somebody for a ride?
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You put your bike away after a ride and you think, I will remember to change my brake pads this week or unclog my gunked up tubers valves before I need to pump up my bike next weekend or change the battery in my shifters. Whatever it is, we forget about it until we're late for a ride.
I do tend to remember the bigger stuff the night before, like the really big stuff. But I have on a number of occasions, not recently, but a few years ago, ended up driving around looking for petrol stations with air compressors to try to then see a stubborn tubeless tyre until quite late in the evening.
I can imagine you doing that. I can imagine how annoyed you would get as well.
I'm so frustrated. I've actually invested in a proper tubeless pump at this point.
Well, there you go. Yeah, sometimes as well, yeah, I find trying to stop disc rotors rubbing has wasted an entire Friday evening before Saturday
ride. It does happen, doesn't it? I mean, cycling can be a very faffy kind of sport. And I think we're all guilty of wasting time pre-ride, post-ride, and sometimes during the ride itself as well.
It is true. People often say that running is time efficient and cycling isn't. I'm not so sure. I think you can probably make cycling as time efficient. It's just that cyclists faff around. I don't even know what I do half the time, Dan.
Well, tubeless tyres and stuff.
Well, that's it. Yeah, one thing, I guess. Yeah.
Post-ride, and I think most people spend quite a lot of time staring at their phones, probably Strava, instead of getting into the shower and out of their Lycra.
Yes.
Chamois time is training time, of course.
That is true, actually. This last weekend, Dan, was a really busy one for me. I knew I wasn't going to get out on a ride until last thing on Sunday. And I could see that the weather forecast was absolutely amazing.
Right.
Until Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah, it was.
When it went to absolute and I couldn't stop staring at my weather apps.
Apps, yeah.
You need more than one app. Every cyclist knows that. But I kept checking to see if it was going to change, and it didn't. So I was really grumpy all weekend.
Yeah, we've already heard how bad you get if you can't ride your bike, Si. I can only imagine how intolerable you were at not being able to ride or being able to ride only in really bad weather.
Yes. I should probably actually formally apologise to anyone who had the misfortune of seeing me at any point, I think, probably from Saturday morning until Sunday afternoon.
Your haircut?
Well, that too. And no, I feel like I've actually been providing quite a lot of enjoyment for people.
I think
Most people are not holding back with their comments about my hair. But yeah, even mid-ride, actually, I was still fairly grumpy. But I can't be the only one that gets grumpy if you can't ride or have to ride in crap weather when it's otherwise really nice. Don't you get that?
No.
Really?
No, I don't.
You've never got grumpy about not being able to ride?
I've got grumpy with myself for not doing a ride when I was supposed to do it because I'd missed out on the training. But I've been grumpy thinking I'm desperate to go out for a ride and I haven't been able to go out.
Okay. That's not a huge surprise. Right, be super interested to hear your thoughts on all of this. How many can you tick off? In fact, or if any, I'm assuming everyone's got the full house.
Surely.
Like cycling bingo.
Surely every single cyclist at one point has just not got changed out of their Lycra for 20 minutes for whatever reason. When you should just get straight in the shower and get on with the rest of your day.
True. All right, get involved in the comment section down below. It'd be nice to have a respite from comments about my hair.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with a new world hour record. Not one to trouble Ganna or Bussy, though. This one is the motor paced hour record. Still in a velodrome, but on a, well, I was about to say road bike. It's not really a road bike, is it?
No.
It's a kind of track bike that could almost be a road bike.
Anyway, Jessica Disley, congratulations. She took to the boards in Newport in Wales and clocked up a very impressive 60.16 kilometres, which I think roughly works out an average speed of 60.16 kilometres per hour, Si.
Roughly, yeah. Now, she absolutely smashed the women's record by over 7 kilometres.
Unbelievable.
And we should also give a shout out to the rider on the Derny who paced her as well, Tom Cassidy. He was like a metronome. Look at this record of their lap times. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Ollie Bridger was talking about the G-force going around the track at that speed, wasn't he?
He was. What did he say? 1.7 Gs every time they hit a corner.
I mean, nothing to me, but he said it's a lot.
I mean, it sounds like a lot. What did he say? The same as a MotoGP rider.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She had to do tricep dips to get...
Oh, really?
To get strong. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Crikey. Mm. Right, moving on. How cool is this? So the BBC reported that a policeman in London commandeered the bike of a passing cyclist to chase after and catch a thief.
Yeah, I love this, right? Fighting crime on two wheels. More impressive still, the bike that the policeman commandeered wasn't even an aero bike. Oh, no. It looks as though it's still got bar ends and enough gubbins to make even Connor Dunn jealous.
Mm, yeah, fantastic stuff, that. And I launched one day too late for last week's new bike bonanza show. Cannondale released a new aluminium bike, the latest in a long line of venerable CAD series.
Yeah, we are now up to CAD 14. Wow. Although, they did skip CAD 11, didn't they? Presumably because at the time that it should have been released, CAD 11 was the person who was the Tour de France champion. I figured it was probably like a kind of copyright infringement or something.
How weird, because he was big Cannondale rider as well, wasn't
he? Well, not at the time, was he? He was BMC.
No, but...
So maybe they just were like, we can't call it the CAD 11.
Yeah, I'd never thought about that. Mm. Anyway, interesting. Anyway, this new one sees a return to the very traditional silhouette, and Cannondale say it's returned to its performance roots, albeit significantly heavier and less aero than their carbon fibre offering.
Yeah, performance, maybe in inverted commas there then. I've got to say, I do like the look of this a lot, but there is one thing I don't like, Dan, and that is the price. Holy guacamole. The top of the range model is £7,500. Mm. $7,500. There are cheaper ones, but cheap they are not. Right. And I know the price of manufacturing aluminium has gone up recently, but it kind of... The cool thing about aluminium is it always felt like it was the smart choice for like budget-conscious riders, and then it happened to be cool. And now it feels like it's kind of just like trying to be cool for the sake of being cool, and then ending up spending more money on a bike that isn't as good.
Well, when you say the price has gone up, the price of manufacturing per tonne has increased. It's actually doubled in the last 5 years. So maybe it's not just a fashion statement.
No.
Significant extra costs.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. But I guess we've got to question what the point of it is if it's no longer budget.
Mm.
The smart money, the real smart money is second-hand aluminium bikes. Mm. Then you take it to the local paint shop, you give them 80 quid, they'll strip it back to raw aluminium. There you go.
You've been on Facebook Marketplace again this last week.
Well, I mean, there are one or two I noticed. CAD 12s, I think. I mean, I don't know. I haven't actually done the proper research, but
okay.
Just putting it out there.
All right. Okay, moving on to some pro racing news now. And it's been a belter of a week, really, with the Trofeo Alfredo Binder in the women's calendar and then two cracking stage races, Paris-Nice and Tirreno Adriatico for the men.
Yeah, Jonas Vingegaard's winning margin at Paris-Nice was the biggest since before World War II. Yeah. Quite a long time, but as mentioned at the top of the show, it was his choice of winter cycling attire that made the biggest headlines.
Yeah. Well, he said he was a trendsetter like you.
Well, so. I mean, he's not going to admit publicly that he was inspired. But 100%, yeah. There's an awful lot more bib tights knocking around the pro peloton this season. Just saying.
On a serious note, it's nice to see one of the best riders in the world just not give a toss about what he looks like. Just functionality over looks. A lot of amateurs could learn from that.
It's true.
Well, it's the other way around.
Well, anyway. Yeah. I mean, as a normal cyclist in a non-racing situation, I don't think there's ever an excuse to have bibs over the top of your outerwear. Really, no. Is there?
Well, I think what was going on, it ended up being much windier than they predicted, and it all split up. I presume he thought there was going to be some point before the finale where he'd have time to go to the side of the road and take his cut bib shorts off, because he'd cut the chamois out of it, so he didn't have two chamois on. But obviously that didn't happen.
To be fair though, he had warm legs and that made him ride faster.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, must be the reason. Meanwhile, over in Italy at Tirreno Adriatico, Mathieu van der Poel was busy sending quite a strong message to Tadej Pogacar that he's more than ready for his attacks on the Cipressa and Poggio, because the Dutchman won two stages and then dropped almost the entire field on the biggest climb of the final stage.
Yeah. He was looking good.
Yeah.
It was like an Amstel Gold style finish, that sprint, wasn't it?
I mean, he's obviously been good for a long time. I just don't think I've ever seen him quite as in control of everything as he is right now.
Yeah, and that's saying something there. Yeah. Pogacar, meanwhile, was actually up in northern France testing equipment over the Paris-Roubaix cobblestones, which is interesting, isn't it? The two are going to meet for the first time on Saturday at San Remo, and I, for one, cannot wait.
A reminder of that, as you clearly see, Milano-San Remo is Si's favourite race of the season. And he's particularly up for it now, actually, because we just finished recording the preview show for that particular race. So that'll be out tomorrow on GCN Racing.
Ask me anything about it, Dan. I am so clued up now.
Okay.
You're not going to ask me?
No.
Okay. Right, just finally then, Karlyn Swinkels took the biggest win of her career at the Trofeo Alfredo Binder on Sunday. She beat the legend, Anna van der Breggen, in what was essentially a two-up sprint to the line.
Just before we move on, probably worth mentioning now that we do still have these prints for sale over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. Should be a QR code on screen right now, which you can scan to get through to that page. I also got a brand new T-shirt inspired by the Spring Classics as well, which you'll see on shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. Reminder, all the purchases you make go towards funding our free-to-view videos here at GCN, and they're very much appreciated.
Yeah, as we gave designer Dan a shout-out last week, all his handiwork has well.
Yeah, he was pleased with that shout out. I saw him last week.
Oh, that's
sticking
cool.
With racing though, there was also an interesting article on Escape Collective about a potential new Indian cycling league last week. This follows on from the success of the first UCI stage race in a decade that took place in the country back in January, which saw 2.5 million spectators on the roadside.
That is a lot, isn't it?
A lot, yeah.
Like that dwarfs Tour of Flanders, quite comfortably. It's likely, they say, not to be affiliated with the UCI, which I think is possibly a good idea. And it's going to consist, they say, of 10 rider teams with, this is quite interesting, 2 juniors on there, two foreign pros, and then 6 Indian pros.
Well, could do a couple of over 45s, really.
Tell you what, mate, that'd be a good little comeback, wouldn't it?
Anyway, with the size of India and the fact that cycling is becoming more popular over there, this could be really quite interesting, couldn't it?
I think so, yeah. Absolutely wicked. Right, we've got a few cool bits of tech for you now. Our mates at HJC, sent us this new limited edition colourway of their Ibex 3 helmet. And there is actually, that's way too far down for me to reach, a limited edition jersey to go with it. This is nice. From Isidore.
Yep, so very the jersey cool, is called the Raindrop, and this one is designed for Rain Man himself, Dr. Ollie Bridgewood.
Yes, that's right. If you've not seen our Bolivia film, you won't understand. To me, that looks raindroppy. This one, actually, in the UK, we'd call that a sunny day, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
There's blue on there as well as clouds.
Yeah,
so, exactly. Yeah, there we go. But no, those are cool. I think you can only buy that in dealers, in like actual cycling shops. Yeah, but like very cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, a reminder as well that we have a giveaway where you have the chance to win a pair of Vision Metron 60 SL Silver Edition wheels. So these are super, super nice. The link in the description will take you straight to that page, which gives you everything you need to know on how to enter.
Just a reminder as well that there are a few territory restrictions in terms of where you can enter from, so do check the small print. If you are eligible, you've got until Friday the 20th of March at 10 a.m. GMT to enter. Next up, it is hack/bodge of the week. You can get involved in this part of the show by submitting your hacks or bodges that you've made or that you've seen out and about. You can do that at globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. The first one this week comes in from Flip Corpus, who put Si's haircut was hacked enough to be a bodge.
Are we back there again?
Another one for you.
Thank you very much.
Might be more later in the show, you never know. The first proper one this week comes in from Slick Cycler. Slick Cycle have been on before.
I believe they have,
Done. Excellent repurposed mini tool case, describing it as excellent themselves. We'll be the judge of that.
Okay,
thank you very much. I came across a small zip-up case designed to carry diabetic test instruments when travelling. Makes a great little case to carry CO2 cartridges, quick links, patch kit, small multi-tool and tyre levers. There's even a place for a CO2 cartridge to snap into. Easily fits into your jersey pocket or seat bag.
I can't work out how big that is. I don't suppose it's massive.
No, it looks fairly compact.
Looking at the size of the multi-tool.
Well, judging by the tyre, you can judge it by the tyre lever, surely.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's quite neat then. It feels like a lot of stuff to have with you, particularly in a jersey pocket. No one wants a saggy jersey. No. Do they? But, I mean, it's got to go somewhere, right? And, yeah. And that does look neat, so...
Well, if you put your bib tights over the top of it, it'll help prop it up.
That is true, actually. Yeah, just tuck it down the back there. Job to give them. Right, OK. Hack. I guess you'll say hack, yeah.
OK.
Hack. All right, well done. Next up, Jenko 21. First time staying in Greenville, South Carolina, a US cycling destination and home of the Modern Adventure Pro Cycling Team. I was surprised to find bike-themed wallpaper in the bathroom, but upon closer inspections, one of these bikes ain't right. Check out the drivetrain on the top right. Oh, no, they've reversed the drivetrain. It's the cardinal sin from designers who don't know about cycling, and they just think, oh, I'll be all right, I want the bikes to kind of flip the other way around so they look really kind of symmetrical.
Or maybe it's a felt track bike. Well, no, it's obviously not.
It is obviously not, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. It was a rubbish joke.
Or
you might cut it out, though.
But we had a video, I think, that went up on GCN Tech, which was why drivetrains are on the right. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't watch it, so I don't know what the answer is. Maybe we can have a small clip on screen now.
Yeah, okay.
No, anyway, I agree. That does it like a massive bodge,
okay.
Basically.
So hack, bodge so far.
Also, it's a fairly pants-looking bike, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're gonna put a bike on wallpaper, just like make it a cool one, surely.
Make it the most expensive bike in the world because it's on wallpaper.
Yeah.
You're actually paying for it.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, man, that's a terrible waste.
What idiots, eh?
Yeah.
Slow Spoke put her bike desk, came across this home-built bike desk in a rural mountain cabin in western North Carolina. I thought it was way too beautiful not to share with everybody.
Oh, that is very cool, actually, isn't it?
Yep, a couple of stools with pedals attached.
Ah, that's amazing. Do you think they work?
Looks like you could use that to sort of...
Oh, no, they don't, because they're the...
They'd
the pedals are both facing
forward.
Hard to
work that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it could almost be used to do whatever you do to your wax chain after you've waxed it.
Oh, break it in.
Break it in.
Break your wax chain in, yeah. Mm. Oh, God, don't even get someone started. That's going to be on Hack or Bodge next week. Oh, I've invented a stool with a...
great, isn't it? Just whilst you're working.
Yeah, But that's what you do on a Friday night before getting your bike ready for Saturday morning. Wax your chain. There you go.
Right.
More fat time.
Another thing, yeah. Okay, I'm going to hack for that.
I'm going to hack, yeah, that's great. James T sent this one in. A hack for a frayed front derailleur DI2 wire. I did not know there was such a thing, but...
Frayed?
Yeah, this might belong in the hack, but don't try this at home category, James says. I have a 2021 Trek and Monda with Shimano DI2. Like many others, I've been installing wider tyres. However, this increases the likelihood of fraying the thin DI2 front derailleur cable with the rear tyre because the wire exits the seat tube right where the tyre is closest to the frame. Before I go further, I will point out that my frame is out of warranty, and if it wasn't,
crikey,
it certainly is now. I carefully drilled a hole for the DI2 wire in the front of the seat tube and used a dab of silicone sealant after I pulled the wire through and connected it to the front derailleur. There is no possible chance of my rear tyre damaging the wire again. I can't imagine it compromises the carbon frame, James says. Because carbon fibre frames have plenty of drilled out holes for cables, bottle cages, fenders. Well, maybe they're drilled out, or maybe they've been carefully planned around other holes. No, I don't know. Well, that is a big hole, actually. God, what size drill bit is that?
Yeah, well, look at the size of the hole in the head tube. It's no bigger than that.
That's amazing. Oh, yeah, there's this tiny little wire, but I'm going to use an 8mm drill bit to save a bit of weight at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, what you could have done, I guess, is just use a little bit of insulating tape to perhaps just, like, stick the cable neatly to the back of the bike out of harm's way.
But anyway. I don't know what to say.
No, I don't know what to say. Oh, nice paint job. Actually, I'll say that. That was quite cool.
Yeah, hack for the paint job. Even though that's how it came, presumably.
Yeah.
I'm going to go bodge just because I think, you know, I just don't think we can be encouraging people to just drill holes into carbon frames willy-nilly.
No, but at least James recognises that what he's been up to is possibly a little bit dubious. Okay. But then we're not engineers, Dan, are we?
So we're not.
Maybe it's absolutely fine.
People have figured that out by now. Right, we do love this part of the show, as you well know at home, so please make sure you get involved ready for next week's show.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you've got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. Pick a winner next week. In fact, we'll pick last week's winner now, shall we?
Oh, this is genius, Si.
Absolute
genius, the winner this week. First up, this was the photo that we gave you from the podium of the Women's Onlook Newsblad, where Demi Vollering appears to be crying and Cassie Nubiedoma appears to be laughing hysterically. I think last week I said that Demi Vollering's put the champagne herself, of her own champagne in the eye, but I think having reread it, Nubia Doma champagne went in Vollering's eye. Anyway, our winner this week is Alex McPherson, who put caption comment, and I'm going to sing this. I'll say it out loud afterwards. I'm going to sing this. Caption, like a champagne Nubia Doma in the eye.
Ah, that's amazing. I mean, great singing.
Thanks very much.
First of all.
I think we put auto-tune on that, presumably.
I thought that was in tune. Oh, that's beautiful. but yeah, Alex, that is that's a work of genius.
Next level.
Yeah, so please get in touch. Not only do you get a GCN Camelback water bottle, you also got a fair bit of respect as well.
Yeah.
From, yeah.
If you've got no idea what that was all about, it's from Champagne Supernova, an Oasis track. Very popular in the UK. Made a resurgence last year. God, I think they're pretty popular elsewhere, aren't
they? I was going to say, I thought Oasis, but then we are going back nearly 30 years, aren't we, for that, that album.
right, this week's photo comes from Parry Nice. This is the pre-sign-on podium of Albertson Premier Tech.
Tell you what, that's what Demi Vollering needed.
Yeah, wasn't it? This is Jensen Plowright, the Australian sprinter, who incidentally finished 17th overall in Parry Nice. Unbelievable, right. Anyway, he was sort of taking the mick out of the weather. The stage has been shortened drastically due to it, and he's on the stage with some goggles. I will get you started. It's quite late as we're filming this, so we're looking to get home, so I've not made much effort. oh my goodness, it's David Goggles! Not David Goggins. It makes no sense at all, really. I just couldn't come up with anything better about
snorkel
or goggles or Plowright.
I love the fact that you imply that normally a lot of effort goes into the caption.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more effort.
Oh, today I'm just so short on time. Normally I spend most of the weekend thinking about my caption competitions. Yeah, anyway, if you think you can beat that, and I suggest you probably can, get involved in the comment section down below. We'll enjoy reading your entries and pick a winner next week.
Yeah, if you can liken them to lyrics, I'll sing them out for you. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, but first up, some comments from last week's video, starting with loads about Si's hair from the GC.
No more. Relac S. Is a heavier cyclist a better cyclist? Then I am an extremely good cyclist, he says. Yeah. It was good, actually. We had a lot of people getting involved, aside from the haircut comments.
A couple of people got in the comments claiming that it was an AI thumbnail.
Well, that's strange,
isn't
it?
Unbelievable stuff.
Someone even said it was an AI thumbnail and they were unsubscribing.
Oh, my word.
I felt like that was quite a knee-jerk reaction, wasn't it? Maybe they're not particularly familiar with GCN's usual output.
It wasn't AI for AI's sake. It served the purpose of what we were talking about, didn't it? Anyway,
well, it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Well, here we are trying to defend.
Right, slow turn 5664. But what the heck are budgie smugglers?
Yeah, so I thought this was like an international term, but it turns out that budgie smugglers is not, because we had a lot of people saying they Googled it. I believe Speedos is kind of like the universal term. Banana hammock appears to be a common term in America.
Is it?
Yeah.
Banana hammock.
Banana hammock, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know why it's a budgie, really, when you think about it.
No, and in the US... In the UK, it's a budgie. In the US, it's banana.
Mm.
Quite a size difference between a budgie and a banana.
Depends how big the banana is.
And a budgie. Anyway, right, Toby Stone wrote in, I was delighted to see Si going past me on a lunchtime ride last week. Dan shouldn't get so much stick as Si is at it too, and thought, blimey, he looks buff. Then I looked up from his ankles to see the rest of him. I like that one as well.
Can I just say, I was not out for a lunchtime ride last week. Yeah. I was working. We were filming last week. So, this was like full-on legit work.
Right, okay.
I was just going to and from the shoot so I could change something. I can't remember what it was. Shoes, maybe. Now, a lot of love for the Dan Fondo video from Sunday. In fact, it was so much love. It was actually a bit boring going through the comment section. Alex Lynn, you're a legend and an inspiration. Yeah. Proud of you. Not entirely sure why, but anyway, Al Salisbury, fabulous to see Dan getting so much enjoyment from his cycling again. And then the Greedex, Si's got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
What? Where did that one come from?
I don't know, but you might have done it because you've got yourself an e-road bike, haven't you? Underneath What's the Point of an e-road bike, Dave's put, biking is great, sunshine. I guess that passes for sunshine in the UK, but very happy she was having such a great time.
Yes, it was kind of sunny that day, and it compared to what we've been having, that was amazing. Some more serious ones here. Janet W, a couple of observations regarding e-bikes. Firstly, using Pixie as an example. Pixie was one of the three of us that got to ride the e-bike. She found the hills more enjoyable on an e-bike. As a result, she may expand her riding terrain, be more adventurous in her area without fear of a dreaded hill. Secondly, I occasionally ride with a ladies group. Several of the members are 70 years old plus. A few of them recently bought e-bikes because they were getting dropped frequently on any hill. Now they're on the front with big smiles and pissing off the more competitive ladies on regular bikes. Lol. Yeah, so I thought that was quite good.
See, I like the fact, remember when LOL first came in, but elder people used to think it was lots of love. And I can't remember, there was a very funny bit where grandma put LOL at the end.
Yeah.
In a very inappropriate moment. Anyway, Diane Seddon said, I was told I wasn't a cyclist because I had an e-bike. I explained about the lack of lung capacity due to illness and how much this bike let me get back into cycling. The bloke said it was just an excuse. I don't care. I love to ride because this lets me.
I'm really sorry to hear that. I think there are still people out there that are, well, there's always going to be idiots, aren't there? But as I said in the video, genuinely, if someone has a problem with someone else being on an e-bike, the problem is not with the e-biker. Mm. The problem is with the person saying stuff. So, yeah, I think you can probably just, even though comments like that still hurt, brush it off because he's clearly an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Right, sure to get onto the nugget, aren't we? First up, what's coming up on the channel this week? On Saturday, Si's going for a fastest known time.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of, you know, it feels like the time of year. Dust off the cobwebs, splash through a few puddles.
Yeah.
It also technically might still count as winter, which means that the FKT is 2 hours longer than the summer one.
Got cold in the mornings here again, hasn't it?
Very cold. It's going to be tough, Dan.
It's like that every year. Like, spring lures you into a false sense of security. There's always one day in March where it's like 15 degrees. Like, right, that's the end of winter. Then you go out without gloves on every day.
Second winter again now, isn't it?
Goodness.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, it's me again, unfortunately. I got hold of one of the coolest bikes I've ever ridden. So I'm telling you all about it. And also why it marked kind of like the peak of French cycling. I think, and what on earth happened? So yeah, check that one out on Sunday. Right then, Dan, what's the nugget?
Well, for the 15 of you left, or was it 16 now? Might be 17.
Possibly.
Anyway, we've got an announcement to make. Si and I, in May, are heading over to Perth in Australia to compete at the Seven Gravel Race.
Yes, this is a Gravel World Cup, and we are super excited that we're heading out there, aren't we?
Yeah.
And basically, in the lead up to it, what we've got to decide now is our different approaches to the race. Because Dan's already started getting competitive, haven't you, Dan?
Wow.
Yeah.
Old habits die hard, don't they? I sort of feel like I want to be in as best shape as possible, but I'm not sure I've got the time and mainly the commitment.
Except...
I think I have.
The whole, like, oh, yeah, maybe I just, you know, it's work. So I'm going to do, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays on Zwift with Lorraine.
Yeah.
Maybe Wednesdays, like, a long ride, because that's work.
Yeah.
And then you could probably, you can't ride Friday as well, so you need a day off. But then you could maybe ride on Saturday and claim it as a loo day.
Yeah, probably could do, yeah. So, yeah, and I might have to change Saturday from the park run, which is what I've been doing over the winter, to a ride. But yeah, what's your plan?
I'm going to try to see if I can squeeze in an extra few hours a week on the bike. I would genuinely, like, I'm quite, like, looking forward to having an objective. We're basically going to try and tap up the most famous coaches we can find, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Or not a celebrity coach will give us a bit of extra firepower.
Yeah. Well, one of them's going to get the short straw. We'll let you decide who that short straw belongs to. But no, this gravel event is the same as what's going to be used for the World Championships later on this year in October, I believe. So it'll be a chance for us to see what that is like. And of course, we'll report to you in case you're thinking of going over for the World Championships yourself.
And we're more than a little bit excited because Perth sounds absolutely amazing.
It does, doesn't it? I've never been.
No, I've never been either.
Okay. Just before we finish, remember that LOL joke. It was a... It was a young lady who sent her grandma a text message saying about her boyfriend having dumped her, and the grandma replied saying, sorry to hear that, lol.
Okay, that actually was quite funny. Worth waiting for.
Cool. That brings us to the end of this week's show. Thanks for watching. See you again next week.